Blog Talk Radio.
I was looking for a purpose, found out money, fortune, fame, it just ain't worth it, it's worthless. I took the cash and burnt it, didn't want a reputation to chase them, what's on the surface line. The things that I find would never satisfy me in the long time, and all the dreams I dreamt, they will never come alive. I am burning.
Welcome to Here I Am, a podcast that embraces the changes of the world and within, bringing you back to who you really are. I'm Anna East, and thank you for being here too.
Hello, hello. Hi, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to episode 6 of the Here I Am podcast. The music you just heard is called Burning It Down by Emily Brimlow. I'll play the rest of the song at the end, so tune in for that tweet. Each week, I choose new music to feature, so if you'd like to submit your own music to be featured in the podcast, I would love to hear it. All right, so hi, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Settle in. This week, I chose the song Burning It Down because I felt that the song actually describes one key element of our topic today. And if you haven't heard what the topic is, it's all about being authentically you. So I felt like the song Burning It Down referenced burning down the ideas, the conditioning, the fear, and the constructs of what we should or should not do what we should or should not be. And I think that burning down all that stuff is a part of the process that I am currently on myself. So not only does the song literally relate to the topic, but it also was inspired. I chose it inspired by our guest, Amari Spigner Ashcroft. So before I say any more, just grab a cup of tea and settle in, because this might just be the medicine that we all need. And I want to thank Be Unique Magazine for sponsoring this podcast. Be Unique is an incredible magazine that I have both written for and volunteered with to bring grounding, inspiring, and world-changing ideas to readers all over the world for free. So if you're interested in learning more, visit BUNEKE.org to find out more. So who is this beautiful woman you're seeing playing on the slideshow? Well, that is a friend of mine. She is a wise, intuitive, and welcoming human. You might know Amari from her work with Be Unique. We actually co-hosted together on Coffee or Tea. Or you might know her from a presence on YouTube, in fashion shows, walking the runway, or hosting live events around Central Florida and beyond. So Amari Spigner Ashcroft is a vegan social media influencer and runway model from Central Florida. She is also a game show host, on-air personality, and an event MC. Amari uses her platforms to promote ethical living and compassion to others. She believes that loving yourself first will help you learn to love those around you even better. I met Amari a few years ago through her vegan event company called North 17, founded with her husband, Royce Ashcroft. These two are such a beautiful force to be reckoned with. And I am so grateful to call Amari a friend of mine and to know someone as amazing as this, as I personally build my local community of friends here in Orlando. So Amari's a mission, I'm speaking for me, is a little bit tricky tonight. Maybe I've had a little much too much caffeine, I think. Yeah, you can all agree on that one. All right. So as I build my local community of friends here in Orlando, Amari is like a fantastic person to know, and because her mission, literally she shared this with me, is to inspire others to be their most authentic selves by sharing her own journey, open and honestly, which is what we hope to do with you here tonight for this episode, and she will help me with my speech. I'm not being able to speak tonight. Oh, goodness. She inspires me daily, and I'm so honored to have her speaking. So, without further ado, Amari, I think I just gave you the best introduction I've ever given in my life. Here she is, everybody. Hey, gal.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I'm, you know, that was a tongue twister.
I feel you.
On my own part.
I think you did very well, you know, all things
considered.
Thank
Thank you. Thank you. Usually I've got a little more control over my mouth, but I think I'm just really excited to talk. And I think I'm here. How are you?
Yes, I'm doing fantastic. I'm very excited to be on your episode today.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. I want to let everyone know as well, if you want to talk to Amari and I later on in the episode, the number to call is 516-418-5651. It'll be on your screen as well if you're looking at Blog Talk Radio right now, and you can call in and ask us questions too. So, Amari, you're calling in from Florida, yes?
Yes, I am.
Great, cool. I mean, I know that, but the audience doesn't quite. And we do have listeners from all over the world, which is pretty cool. We've got people listening in from Australia, Japan, Thailand, and places that I don't even know, because who knows where some other of our listeners are tuning in from. Isn't that cool? It's morning time. I think it's 10 a.m. for my listeners in Australia. So I always like to say, good morning to them, and I hope they're starting their day off well. Ms. Mari, we're talking about authenticity today, and I wanted to kind of ask you why you were interested in talking about authenticity yourself.
Awesome. Well, I wanted to talk about it because it's something I'm constantly working on, so I feel like the more that I talk about it, the more aware I am of how I'm doing. I don't know if you've heard this said before, but I've heard it before and often that you learn something better when you're teaching other people how to do it. It's like reinforcing what you know and then making it in a very practical way so that, whoever you're teaching to is able to pick it up and replicate the behavior and be successful. So the more I talk about ways to be mindful and to be authentic, the more I feel like I'm actually, teaching myself, even though I'm helping other people out.
Yeah. You're learning how to embody it. Yeah. That's a great, I love that. Ooh, I feel like, maybe unconsciously, I think that I was kind of trying to do that as well specifically authenticity, but for me, it's honesty and everything like that. Just being real with people. It's really important for me too. And honestly, that's why I started this podcast, is to get real with people and to connect and, to practice is what we preach, right? To just get out there and use our voices and yes. Okay. So what does authenticity actually mean to you? What does it make you think about?
Authenticity for me is being as comfortable as possible in my own skin, really. Because there are lots of different dynamics of who we are as a person. And I think it's very important to explore that and express all of those different attributes of yourself. What I found to be a struggle, in my journey, was that people would know me from where I was at a certain point of my life in my past. And that's what they remember me as, even though I've changed and grown so much. And it used to be something that actually really frustrated me in the beginning, because I felt the people in my past were kind of holding me to an old standard and forcing me to stay in this box. But then I really had to assess the situation and look at myself and realize that it wasn't their fault and they weren't intentionally holding me in this box. It was that I was afraid to show this new version of myself, and I just kind of expected them to ask or be curious about the new me instead of showing them who I am and just kind of, riding that wave to see if we're still aligned or not, based on some of the different ways that I think and the different ways that I behave, compared to, that first life when you're really told what to do, as opposed to when you start to get to make those choices for yourself. That's when you really find out who you are.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's a good point too, of how to get in tune with your authentic self too, is to when you actually have to make those choices yourself, that's a great way to put it too. Remember that for the end. Yeah. I totally can identify with that description of people holding you to a standard of who they thought you were versus who you are now. And we're constantly changing. We're constantly growing. And even just for me last week, I think I've had some really big shifts of realizations this past weekend. So it's even from last week to this week, I'm different than I was, and And it's just kind of like, I've noticed myself, like when I interact with people that have known me for a long period of time, like coming to them and interacting with them on this as this new form of me, is I'm always kind of like testing it. I'm like, okay, how are they going to react? How are they going to react to me? And what it is like, I'm, you know, finding that confidence in myself as this new person. So yeah, it goes all the way back from like, yeah, say when I was a teenager to now versus last week to now, it's just like, yeah, I definitely understand. And I feel like, I know you've talked to me about with your growth and your changes in yourself. And I think like, yeah, it's even just, I think there's like a fear that we have too. Like a picture that's been painted of us, and we feel like we have to live up to that standard or live up to that when we're
for sure
not that way.
Whenever you said being confident, I feel like that just hit the nail right on the head. Like being confident enough to be who you are when other people can see you. Like, you know, there's a dance, like no one's watching, or sing, like you're in the shower and no one's listening. And it's like, well, what about, you know, when you're out in space of the world, like to be seen, then you have to, well, you don't have to, it's absolutely a choice, but I think it's in everyone's best interest to still sing that song or dance that dance so that people can see who you are. Like that's only going to happen if you show them. And some people
are really
good at doing it on social media. But then it's like a whole different ball game when it's like you're face to face, you know, with someone and you can't delete the video 3 times or throw a filter on that photo. It's just like really you and really your energy in that moment. Like it's a game changer.
Oh, wow. Yes. Oh, can we clap for Amari, people? Oh man. Yeah. That's so good. I love that. Well, it's so true. I mean, I had written down like authenticity within interactions is like a huge part of, you know, really embodying and being authentic in life. But it's so true. It's like for me, okay, I think about on my Instagram, if you follow me on Instagram, you'll know that I post dance videos, and I did that. I started doing that because I think it was like I posted one thing and it was scary for me to be like, this is how I am. This is who, I mean, people who know me in person know that I dance all the time and I'm goofy or whatever, you know, but like a lot of people didn't know that. But I posted it out there. But I also get to control what I show and what I don't show through all of that. And and so it's like in like real life, it takes me a while before I'll be like, unless I just feel comfortable around somebody immediately, to be goofy and to like dance or to express my vulnerability. That's something for me I'm working on right now. Being vulnerable in front of people, even friends, like close friends, you know? Yeah. Yeah. That's a big part of me being authentic is like, I don't have to show my emotions to everybody, but sometimes I feel like I'm lying if I'm constantly hiding things and I'm not speaking what's true for me, you know?
It's like wearing a mask. Even when you don't say what's on your mind sometimes, like just, I do believe that we should pick and choose our battles, right? Because there's so much going on in the world and so much to be upset about or to be offended by. However, like by not saying anything at all, sometimes you end up just like absorbing this content, be it like bad news or like a pessimistic Patty or like something. All because you can't find a way to say no thank you. You know, no thank you, I don't want to gossip about that person. No thank you, I don't want to talk about politics. No thank you, I don't want to talk about the pandemic. We're all aware that it's going on. You know, it's so much. And for me, my struggle sometimes with being authentic is so badly wanting to hold space for everybody else and to see everything from both sides and to understand that people are having different experiences than me. I try not to rain on anybody's parade, you know, for where they're at. But sometimes it's just like, by me not removing myself from situations, I think I'm not being authentic to myself by letting, you know, people tell me things that I don't want to hear or take me places where I don't want to go just to, you know, appease them or to be a good friend or whatever the case is.
Right. It's like creating those healthy boundaries, I think too, is a big part of also walking in your own alignment and, you know, being authentic to yourself is you know, really sitting with what is okay and with what isn't okay with you. And then it's a practice, I think, to create those boundaries with people, but to practice how you, and it's different for everybody of how to actually say that, or, you know, in a non-aggressive way, but in a way that's like, hey, this isn't, you know, something that you're doing wrong, because yeah, we all have our different experiences in the world, but it's not okay for me right now. I'm like, I need to remove myself from the situation or whatever it is, you know? That's good stuff right there. I feel like I should be journaling. I need to write this stuff down. I'm going to listen back to this. I'm just be like, okay, let me take notes from Amari. Yeah. Oh, man. So, yeah, that was like, okay, you've talked to me a lot about a lot being in alignment, or maybe I've read it on your Instagram. I don't even know when we've talked about it or when we haven't. But I know you've been working on staying true and aligned with who you are and your intuition and your truth. Can you tell me about that or some of your journey with that?
Yeah. So actually something that's really cool that's going on right now is that I have a friend named Kat, and I met her the year before last. She came to one of the auditions for the International Vegan Fashion Show. She ended up modeling in the show, and she's like an intuitive medium psychic person that's just like this beautiful energy of light. She's amazing. Mm. And she started a course 2 weeks ago called Spirituality 101, which I'm part of now. It's me, her, I think about 5 or 6 other girls. So she really helps us to do different techniques about being mindful. Right now, our soul work, she doesn't like homework. So our soul work for this week is to create a meditation corner, and then to make sure that we show up for practice at least 10 minutes daily, and then kind of journal how we feel each day after we meditate, which I actually, so for this week, this is the third day. And the first day I did it, Anna, like my mind was everywhere. Like I felt like it wasn't even any product. I was a guided meditation, and what the woman was saying was beautiful, but I just could not like center myself into what she was saying, because I had this topic on my mind that just kept bouncing around from all different angles. And that's normally something that would frustrate me and kind of make me want to just get up and try another day. However, since, you know, we made the commitment to do the 10 minutes a day, I finished, wasn't too satisfied with it, but yesterday was better. And then today, the third day, was even better. Like, I just had thoughts come through to me of what I felt like I should do today. I cleaned and arranged my space even more, which I think I led by good example, because then my husband Royce turned around and cleaned up his space as well. So now we just feel like more productive, and we did some cleaning yesterday. And it's, I think I'm finding most that when I clean stuff and clear stuff and organize stuff, like on the outside physical world, somehow that manifests to where like everything flows well with me on the inside, like opposed to when I have dirty space. Like that's reflective of something is cluttered in my mind, and like that's why like everything around me is also cluttered.
I feel so similarly too. I definitely feel on that one, and especially like my brain. I've dealt with ADD my whole life, and I just feel like when I have a clear space, I have less things to think about, and so I can like actually focus. But as well, in general, like even you know when you're talking about meditating, like, I have not stuck to a meditation practice consistently ever. And I think what I've realized when you're just talking now is like, I put way too high of expectations on myself. And that's why I get discouraged every time, is because I'm trying to like, okay, all right. In this, by day one or day two, I can't quiet my mind, then I'm not any good at this. This isn't for me. You know, I'm like, that sounds ridiculous when I say it out loud. Like, meditation is a practice of every day, and like, I'm not going to be Buddha by the end of the week. Like, you know, I'm like, oh gosh, I'm glad you said that, because that actually makes me feel a little bit better. Like, maybe, you know what, I can just take the weight off, take the expectation off of, let me just sit here and see what happens and journal afterwards. Wow. Wow. Okay. Man, if anybody is experiencing this while they're listening, I don't know if I'm the only one here. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. Who knows? But please
totally
do call
not.
In and let us know your thoughts too. I'm sure I know. I can't believe that didn't click until now. Like literally did not click in my brain until you said that. Wow. Well,
I honestly felt
you.
The same way. Like I'm like, I can't clear my mind. Like these are the limiting beliefs I had, right? Like I can't clear my mind. I have a monkey mind. This is going to take forever. I never practiced meditation before. I wasn't born with that. You know, it's just so many silly things. Not silly, you know, valid, but, you know, these are false evidence appearing real, right? There's nothing that is really expected of you in meditation. It's something that you can do anytime, anywhere, any place. It's free. You don't need an instructor. You just need to get used to being still. And I think it's, like, really hard sometimes to practice being still, especially, like, I'm in my late 20s. So, you know, I know that I have plenty of time in the world, you know? Like, Gary Vee would say, you got time, man. Like, you know, no pressure. However, it is sometimes you think about getting closer to your 30s and what you thought you would have accomplished. Or that's my experience. Getting closer to my 30s and what I thought I would have accomplished by now. And that starts to freak me out. And my defense mechanism is to start thinking of all these ways to like expedite the process so that I could be where I thought that I should be. That's when I overthink. It's like, what am I going to do to make my dreams come true? What am I going to do to get more aligned with what
you want it now. You want it.
Absolutely. And I actually listened to this webinar today that was really great and basically saying, you know, it's talking about the flow state, that when you are able to just relax and be centered, all these ideas, all this inspiration starts flowing to you and you're excited and motivated to do it. And you literally lose track of time just because you're so fulfilled. It's almost like you're drunk in love with whatever it is you're doing. And the only way you can get to flow state is to center yourself. And meditation is a really great way to do that if you just, like, don't give up on yourself, you know? It will get better.
Yes. I love that. That's interesting because, I actually I don't know how you felt about, like, flow state and everything like that with this pause that we're in, societal pause. But that's one thing where I'm definitely noticing shifting going on for me. I mean, a lot of shifting actually during this whole thing, of like allowing myself to spend more time with not feeling bad about going anywhere else or doing something else, but like just being like, no, actually, it's okay for me to sit here, follow this path that I'm on. So for me, like yesterday, I was allowing myself to sit and finish a tapestry that I've been working on. That's always just like a little hobby. It's a way for me to, you know, clear my mind, have my hands working, but clear, like just not have to think really, but I ended up thinking and but processing through thoughts. But I always feel guilty about doing it because I'm like, I could be doing something else that's better. And that's more, you know, I don't know, more productive or whatever it is, you know, something towards, the thought of where I should be at this moment. But I know intrinsically that that's not what I need and that's not what I want to do right now. It's like what I want to do right now is sit here and do this tapestry and let my mind process some stuff. And it's like intuitively I know that, but my monkey mind will then try and brain through and make a decision for me based in my conditioning. So... Yeah, so it's like I'm definitely learning that those moments are okay. It's okay to slow down. It's okay to chill. I actually even today, so I haven't been writing to-do lists at all, but I did write one for today because my I kept thinking about all the stuff I did need to get done today, and I was like, okay, if I don't write it down right now, I'm thinking about it tomorrow. I'm gonna wake up and I'm gonna be like oh, what day is it? What time is it? Oh, I'm somewhere in the abyss of time and then I won't do anything, you know? But I did actually, like, I've got a little note, which I haven't done yet, of one of my to-do list things is to read, create, or wander. So just, like, letting myself do whatever, basically, for the day. And, like, letting that be a thing that, you know, I'm allowing myself to do that and to be happy and content with that. But, you know, maybe I've gotten off on a tangent.
No, I personally vote for Wander. Like, if I could read.
Yeah.
What were the options? Read something and
create,
Wander.
Or Wander, yeah.
Yeah, creating sounds fun too, but I feel like if I were wandering, I'd be more inclined to create. Like, that's what
calls
to me the most. Like, out of those options.
I think that's what I desired the most out of the three, but I was like, I had to write down the read, create, just in case, like, oh, like, need to think I'm being more productive. And I'm like, no, wandering is what I want. That's what my brain wants. Like, it wants the freedom to do whatever and then just see what I'm pulled towards. Yeah. I'm doing a lot of work right now with a coach that's all about kind of reworking your life from a feminine perspective, and meaning feminine energy, mm-hmm. not necessarily male, female. And a lot of it has to do with mm-hmm. listening to your intuition and like letting that guide you.
Yes.
And I think, so I wrote down this definition of authenticity from psychcentral.com, written by Diane Muddle. It says, being authentic means coming from a real place within. It is when our actions and words are congruent with our beliefs and values. It is being ourselves, not an imitation of what we think we should or be or have told. Okay, what we think we should be or have been told we should be. There is no should in authentic. So I feel like that's right in line with what we're talking about, is like from that real place within, when you're centering yourself, when you're able to meditate and sit and quiet yourself for a moment to get in touch with like whatever emotions are sitting with you or whatever, you know, if you feel like presently, and then seeing what you actually desire, what do you really want, and like listening to that from that point on. I think
one of the good ways to figure out what you really want, someone mentioned it recently and I was like, that's very practical, just hadn't thought of it that way. I was actually on another one of my friend's podcasts. His name is Jerome. He did his podcast on Instagram Live. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about asking yourself questions, right? But asking yourself questions out loud, like actually, like, yeah, you know, it sounds like what? That's what crazy people do, right? Talk to themselves. But I believe he said it was Albert Einstein that talked to himself all the time. And that we know so much, like, I believe that there's a lot of information that we know intuitively that we just have forgotten because there are so many distractions in the world as opposed to like just growing up out in nature away from technology and drama and just like really tapping into yourself.
Yeah.
So I haven't quite made it to the part where I answer myself out loud, because it is, you know, a little bit uncomfortable because it's a new thing, just like talking to yourself in the mm-hmm. mirror is a really great tool, but can be, you know, an uncomfortable thing until you get used to it. But I have asked myself questions out loud and then sat in silence, almost like in a meditative state, and waited for clarity on the subject. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in some of the things that I asked, it was very clear and very obvious, and other things it was just feelings, like, you know, I can usually discern if something's good for me based on how I feel about it more so than the outcome. Like, as the thing is progressing along, am I happy or am I anxious or am I mm-hmm. nervous or am I excited? Those things are going to tell me kind of what's really good for me, because, you know, like, everybody knows, we just forget, and you really have to have the confidence to believe that you know what's best for you and that you care enough and love yourself enough to make decisions that are going to guide you ultimately in the right direction. And that's not to say that we won't make mistakes along the way, because that's how we're learning. But even, again, those mistakes are contrasts, and they're going to steer you, you know, in the other direction. So everything is a lesson, you know. Sometimes they're painful. Sometimes they're, you know, a little disheartening, but you never stop. You just look at the situation and try to ask yourself, what is this teaching me? Some mm-hmm. people like to ask, why is this happening? Which I think can go the same way, but, you know, everything happens for a reason, and we're not always going to know what that reason is. So for me, the better question is, what can I learn from this, or what is this teaching me about myself?
Yes. Yeah. Whether it's, you know, like, the things that come to us with ease, or the things that do, yeah, make us feel a little bit uncomfortable or have emotions like sadness or anger coming in, or resentment, or, you know, anxiety, that kind of stuff, fear, like it's still teaching you something. And maybe it's teaching you, like, you know, say it's fear, then that there could be so many different reasons for why that fear comes up. But that maybe it's something you need to listen to. You know, I mean, there's fear to a degree. Like, okay, fear is the one that's a bit more difficult. Let's say it's sadness. but sadness, like, but it's like, say, that's still teaching you something. It's like you need to listen to whatever that is so that you can address it and either, you know, move forward from that space or you know, whatever. I think I can definitely relate to what you're saying. It just really all reminds me of, like, honestly, the workshops I've been doing with my mentor, Sarah. It's like she's been talking about so much of this, the same thing. It's kind of wild how it, like, in line that what you're saying is so similar to what she's been saying of asking yourself the questions and seeing what comes to you naturally and really letting that guide you and to not try and push down the feelings that do come up. I think for a long time, like spiritually, I was trying to find enlightenment and all these different things through like peace. And I really didn't understand it. Like I was trying to just shove down everything and like quiet it down as if it wasn't happening.
Mm.
Like is it, for instance, like the thoughts that were racing through my brain, it's like, okay, if they're passing through, like, to basically not acknowledge them, you know, and like, shh, you don't need to be there. Like, let me have a quiet mind. But it wasn't working because I wasn't acknowledging them, you know? And it was like, what a journey it's been since like realizing that that's not healthy. And that's for me, that doesn't work. And, you know, instead getting real with myself and actually acknowledging and saying, I see you, I hear you. You've been trying to talk to me for a long time. Let me see what happens when I hold hands with you instead of push you away.
And, yes.
You know, yeah. And see like what we can do from that space instead. Yeah.
Anything that you repress or like suppress in yourself doesn't help you be your most authentic self. Like, clearly, because then it's not a matter of like anyone else stopping you. It's you being in your own way, whether that is because of fear or I can't really think of another reason. I feel like there certainly are other reasons, I'm sure, but I feel like a very big reason for people not being their most authentic selves is that they're afraid of if they're going to still receive love while being their most authentic self.
Yes. Yes.
Everybody wants to be loved and everyone wants to be supported.
Yeah. Can we write that down, everyone? Write that down in your journals. that's exactly it. That was my fear. That was my biggest fear. It's like, if I come through as my real self, if I show off who I am, if I take off my mask, if I say, hey, this is actually who I am, I was afraid that people wouldn't love me, that people would turn away, that people would say, no, actually, I don't like this version of you. And I feel like that was what would hurt even more. Is like people rejecting the real me. But the funny thing is like, I don't know if you felt this way, but as soon as I started being the real me, I didn't care if people rejected me or accepted me. Like to some degree, of course I did, you know, people that are close, but at the same time I was like, but I'm choosing me. And that was a strong enough choice. I felt like I was like, I chose myself. I loved me. So if anybody else does come in or out of my life, that's fantastic. But it's like, oh my gosh, I'm not denying who I am anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. It's been such a journey. And for me, really powerful since like just the beginning of 2020. So even though 2020 hasn't been great for everybody, you know, I feel like on a personal, you know, me, myself and I relationship, standpoint, it's been a really good year. But yeah,
it's been a lot of, self-realization going on.
Yes, yes. I'm really hoping that across the world, I mean, I know everyone, of course, is in different situations completely, and everybody is having to deal with different things right now. But in not being able to travel, in having to embrace exactly where you are and make do with what you have, like, I'm really hoping that it is helping people kind of settle and have some realizations that maybe they didn't have time for in the world before, you know?
I actually want to ask you a question, because I know that before this happened, you used to travel a lot, like for work mm-hmm. and for vacation, but, you know, many different things. Did you ever find it, or rather, did you find it easier to be your most authentic self and meeting new people all the time? Or did that make it easier to wear a mask because, you know, more than likely with some of your jobs, you might not even see that customer again?
It's funny you ask that. Actually, so it kind of would be back and forth. I think when I met people not in a professional setting, it was easier for me to be myself because they had nothing to judge me off of previously. I'd say it's definitely been the hardest to be my true self to people that have known me for a long time, because they knew me before. They knew the masked version of me. And it's like, even though, I think meeting new people, I definitely have been more of myself. And actually, I think that's what gave me some confidence in being myself, is that I was able to experiment and try out who I really am with people that didn't know me previously. And that's in all different ways and facets, you know, however I've grown and changed over the years and come home to who mm-hmm. I am and that sort of thing. I was able to just say, hey, this is me right now. Nice to meet you. And they would just say, oh, this is you right now. Awesome. Cool. Or, you know, or we wouldn't connect and that would be it. And then in a professional setting, it was still definitely, I had to sometimes wear my masked self, just because it was like, that was my job. And that was a job that I had for a few mm-hmm. years. So I had to kind of uphold that. But at the same time, I was kind of, it was this weird balance or kind of pushing, I would say, push and pull between me kind of shedding old layers and wanting to speak to my employers and to whoever in my current state of my current reality. But mm-hmm. I know they're not used to people speaking to them that way. So, or, to, you know, I just felt like I was so much more of an empowered, you know, I've grown up like over the course of working with certain companies. So it's like, mm-hmm. I was very empowered, talking to anybody in life much more so than I used to be. And I wasn't afraid to say, hey, this is how I feel in a very, you know, respectful, professional way. But to these companies that had, again, known me for a longer period of time, I felt like I still had to like squash myself for them. And I was like, ooh, that's not cool. I need to figure this out, because like, this is a big learning lesson for me is how will they respond to me standing up for myself? And so when I would stand up for myself or just, you know, be different from how I used to be, they responded fine. And maybe it was a bit of a shock for them, but then, you know, I feel like in the long run, I did get more respect. But yeah, I'd say to sum that up, like my longer term friendships, relationships, family, whatever in life, it's definitely those relationships where I was a bit more tentative to show them who I really was. But then I got to a point where I was like, you know what? It's not worth it anymore. I need to just be who I am. And just, if they like it or if they're cool with that, great. That's awesome. I'm so glad. But if they're not, then I can't change. I'm not going to change myself anymore, you know?
Right. Yeah. I think that's so beautiful. Like for you to just be like, yeah, I'm not anymore. Here I
yeah.
am.
Like, yeah. Yeah. It's exactly what it is. Yeah. It's so true. And it's, you know, it's like, it's so many different things. There's so many different elements to our personalities. And even for me, it was like just embracing more of who I had grown into be while I was traveling. You know, there's things that you change a bit and you learn and you give and, it did allow me to get more rooted within myself, you know, because I sometimes was the only person that I could rely on in those moments of travel. So, coming back home, it was almost like unavoidable. Like I had to. I was just like, okay, this is too much. But yeah. What about you? What have you found since your lifestyle is different from mine in that way of not traveling as much, but I don't have the experience right now of long-term community, family and friends that aren't all over in different places, and I would like to actually build more community, but I think I've always been afraid of getting stuck. But I know that's probably just all in my mind. What do you think about that?
I have the same thing about getting stuck, actually. Before, you know, matters went to the way that they were in the world, like, me and Royce were thinking about moving to California. Like, that was where our heart was,
right.
And that's what we wanted to do. And then all this happened, and turns out for us, it was great that we didn't uproot from all of our family and friends for things to end up the way that they are now. It really did. You know, that's another thing I consider intuition. Not that the whole world stopped for me, but maybe it wasn't time to just pick up and uproot myself like I thought it was. Because I do rely on a lot of people here. But I've been living in Central Florida, I mean, between Orlando, Kissimmee, near downtown, but all Central Florida since 2002. So, you know, it's been 18 years. That's a full-grown adult, and I'm ready to get out of here and, like, see other parts of the world and meet new people and be introduced to new cultures and try even more delicious vegan food. And I really liked what you had said earlier about when you meet new people, that's an opportunity to experience different facets of yourself and any changes that you may want to make. That's awesome, because then that kind of makes, I don't know what it was, but you like connected a little piece in my puzzle that just made it be like, yeah, I can use each opportunity to try something new about myself and think about it as a positive experience of, yes, this person is going to find out who I am because I can show them, versus this person is going to see the mask that I wore for everybody else. Like, I just had to change my thinking around it and reframe it and see it as a fresh slate, as opposed to still looking at new people like, oh, I have to show you that I'm not this person before I show you who I actually am.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's like you can just step into that. I think that's it's really liberating to be able to do that, to be able to just say, here's me in my entirety. You're seeing all of me. Like, you're seeing what it is. And for somebody like myself, and it sounds like you too, like, that has masked themselves, to take that off and just be like, this is me, you know, to see how, like, they react to it. And a lot of times people are really accepting. I think that's one thing too, is I get in my mind about thinking about how they're going to react to me. And I will project onto them how I think they're going to react based on how other people have reacted. And I don't even know how they're going to react. I'm like, I'm making the decision for them. And it's not a happy decision. Like, I'm making the bad decision for them when they could totally be a nice person, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I would love to work into that. That's something where's my journal? I need to write this stuff down. So work into that. Like, me, I need to stop projecting onto other people that they won't like who I really am. And because, gosh darn it, I'm glad we're having this conversation, because it sounds silly when I say it all out loud.
When you say that loud, it literally is like, oh, I am doing that thing again. Like, you know, it's crazy. Like, we wouldn't say some of the things we say to ourselves, to like a friend when they're down. It's the same thing. Like, you wouldn't expect, when you're talking to your friend about putting themselves out there and meeting new people, you wouldn't say to your friend, oh, they're probably not going to like you. Oh, they might think you're weird. Oh, you know, they might think your toes are too big, whatever. You would be like, no, they're going to love you. You're great. Like, you're so fantastic. Here are all these amazing things about you that I've seen or that I know. You got to pour that love onto yourself also, because you really deserve it. Like, instead of being our own toughest critic, it would be so great to just be like our own best cheerleader.
Yeah,
so necessary.
Oh,
I'd
like to write down, I think, also things I like about myself right now, or things that, like, my friend would say exactly to, like, pump me up of all the things I'm great with, you know, that I'm okay, so you had talked about, like, looking at yourself in the mirror. I caught myself eye gazing yesterday, like, literally just staring into the mirror at myself. And it was so freaky.
Ooh.
Yeah, because it was like, for the first time, though, I saw myself as, like almost, like, separate from myself, but, like, as other people would see me if they were seeing me without all my self-doubts that are floating in my head.
Oh.
It was like, yeah, it was like I saw myself and I was like, whoa, you're really cool. Whoa, you're really cool looking. Like,
yeah.
I saw that. Yeah, and then I was like, whoa, look at your eyes. And I was just looking at myself and I kind of just was seeing myself separate from my brain, you know, from all the swirling monkey mind chatter. And it was really cool. I can't believe I'm saying this on air, like, to lots of people, but I'm so glad that I am, because maybe somebody else can find, you know, some inspiration in this, is that, like, I would typically feel guilty or, like, ashamed, like, oh, I was looking at myself, you know. But no, it's actually so cool and empowering, and we should feel empowered to look at ourselves and to really recognize who we are, you know. And
you know,
that was cool.
What's really cool about what you said, when you look into the mirror, you are obviously seeing a reflection. So you're seeing your image mirrored back, not even straight on, like the way that you would in a video, for example. But you also will never see yourself. Well, you kind of did, but I was going to say the way the world sees you, because what people know about you and how people feel about you contribute to the way that they actually physically see you. And I know, like, that might seem next level to some people. Like, what do you mean? But it's, like, very simple. Like, if you know a person is good and kind-hearted and nice and good intentions, you look at them as a more beautiful person than someone who's angry or bitter or grumpy. And when you look at yourself in the mirror, sometimes, yeah, you do have all these self-doubt and limiting beliefs, so you don't see yourself shining in the same way that somebody that aspires to be you or to do some of the things you've done or see some of the things you've seen or be some of the places that you've been blessed enough to go to. So there are even times where I might really think I'm having a bad day or a down day or a sad day, and I'll walk by and look at myself in the mirror, and seeing my reflection completely changes my mood, because I'm like, oh, wow, that's what I look like? Because that's really not what I felt like.
And you know, and I think for both of us, like, understanding too, like, that's come after a lot of self-work and self-kindness and you know, loving and that sort of thing. Or, you know, it's funny, because think about when we were little kids, you know, we probably started out in this world loving ourselves, loving our own reflection, loving what we looked like, thinking things were interesting, not judging. And then we got conditioned to not want to look at it, not, you know, not love it. And now we're unconditioning ourselves again to get back to that point. But
unlearning and relearning.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see if there's anything, like, okay, if anybody wants to call in that's listening, 516-418-5651. Amari, I do have to play a little message from our sponsors, but when we get back, I'll have some more questions for you. One moment.
All righty.
If you like the show tonight, let us know. Call 321-417-4309 or email mary@beunique.org to ask how you can sponsor the show. It's simple and doesn't have to cost much at all. Visit beunique.org for even more details. That's BUNEKE.org. Join the global world changers who already know how Be Unique helps bring together like-minded humans who are making the world a better place. Read the magazine and blog posts, watch our videos, listen to our podcast, and visit our social media from one location, and let's work together. Change tomorrow by finding solutions today. Visit BeUnique.org to learn more. That's BUNEKE.org.
And we're back. So, Amari, I was looking over some of my questions that I wanted to ask you. And I want to know, what are some of the successes or positive outcomes that you found of living more authentically?
Definitely just feeling like I'm not going crazy, like, by trying to be what everyone or what I, in my head, believe everyone wants me to be, because that's how I was accustomed to receiving love, the way that I was behaving or, you know, carrying myself before. I was very afraid that when I started to express myself more authentically, that people would not like me. And I think that's a big reason why when I was younger, I would shrink myself so much and dim my light so much, is because I wanted to have friends and I wanted people to like me. And I thought that if I stood out too much, or if I tried to shine my light too bright, that, that people wouldn't appreciate that. I really thought that they would feel like I was trying to outshine them or trying to take all of the spotlight. And I didn't think that anybody would want to be friends with someone like that. And I don't even know what that was, but I really thought that in order to be liked, that I had to kind of keep my nose down and be as humble as possible. And it turned out that is a way for people to like you, of course, because then, you know, people can have their way with you. But if you do choose to use your voice and express yourself, you'd be surprised at how many people just appreciate someone shining their light, because it does make them comfortable enough to do the same thing, to just see somebody unafraid or like uninhibited who laughs real loud or snorts when they laugh sometimes. Like,
I love that. It's so powerful. There was two nuggets of things you said. One was that you didn't know where it came from, that you felt like you couldn't be the one that was looking for like attention, or you didn't want to shine too bright and that sort of thing. And I've definitely felt that myself. And I just feel like that is also definitely a thing of I've even noticed right now I'm working through not squashing my joy. When I have joy and when I feel good about something, is not squashing that down to make other people feel more comfortable. And because that's something where I'm like always, you know, like, oh, well, you know, if I come off as being too happy, I laugh too loud, I'm too passionate, I'm too this, I'm too that, then people will think I'm too much and they will, won't want to be around me. And I think what it is like, it's like swapping. So there's like people that will feel uncomfortable by you doing that, and they won't want to be around you because you make them feel uncomfortable within themselves, because they're not ready to face that within themselves. But on the flip side, you will find, like you had mentioned, the other nugget, that you'll find those people that are empowered by you being yourself, and they're in their own journeys. They're ready to, be inspired by you, or to take notes from you, say, oh my gosh, well, look, Amari did that. Like, I could do that. Like, oh, she spoke her mind. She was true to herself. She said what she believed in. When then, you know, slowly and surely, like, people will start to feel more comfortable in themselves. Like, I always think about, I mean, you for one, you are always talking about, I mean, you're confident in talking about spirituality and veganism and what is important to you and things of that nature. And I have another friend of mine, she was on this podcast actually before, her name's Rose. She is so confident in expressing herself and just being who she is. And both of you two have really inspired me to say, those are the things that I would keep more quiet to myself. I was like, and now I'm kind of like, well, it's not hurting anyone if I'm expressing myself or that I'm talking about what I'm passionate about, you know? Oh, I feel like I keep going on tangents while I'm talking to you, but I just feel like I could talk about so much
with
you.
It's all good. Well, yeah. I like what you said about it's not hurting anyone. It's like, it's not hurting anyone. And in fact, it is probably helping someone. Like you stated, you know, mentioned that Rose and I inspire you by talking about like authenticity so much and spirituality. But, you know, in the same regard, me seeing your dancing videos, they're just like, oh, wow. Like I dance, you know, like if it's a party or something, I like to dance. I prefer reggae music and dance hall, but the type of that dancing is more fun. And, you know, I think it's good for some of those lower chakras too, but it's not so much for me about self-expression as much as it is about just like fun and movement. But when I watch your videos of you dancing, it really seems like you are telling the story of your emotions in those movements. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so beautiful. And I have, truth be told, I've tried it once or twice. Haven't recorded or shared it, but I tried it in a private space. And the biggest challenge was just getting out of my own head. But once I was out of my own head and just really engulfed the fact that I was alone and there was no one there to judge me, it felt really good to swirl around and move around and just feel free, you know, just release whatever emotions that don't serve me in a way that feels good. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to watch. So I'm sure, just like I admire watching you dance and self-express in that way, people would admire me too if I chose to go ahead and show that side of myself. But I'm taking my time finding ways to express myself when I'm ready. And I will say the biggest thing in my life so far that's helped me really express myself, and it was my opportunity to show people who I was, where I was, you know, and everyone accepted it, was when I went to Love Burn in Miami this February, right before the world slowed down. Love Burn is a Burning Man regional event, and there are lots of different rules and principles they hold, but one of them is radical self-expression, and that's everyone's right to present themselves in exactly the way that makes them feel most comfortable, and we all accept and embrace people for who they are. And when everyone has that same mentality, it is such a freaking beautiful thing to, like,
it's so beautiful.
Who people are.
I hope, and to radically accept it of one another.
And it's all about loving and embracing these people. No one's putting each other down. No one's tearing each other down. No one's questioning each other for showing up as they are. People are curious to get to know more about you and understand you better with open ears and an open heart. If the entire world could be like that, I believe there'd be so fewer conflicts, because there'd be less issues of, like, pride and ego and trying to make everyone like us, as opposed to understanding why people see the world the way that they do, and, like, coming to a common ground on what we can all do for the greater good and for the community.
I can totally resonate that with that. I mean, I'm so grateful this past year too that I went to a regional burn, and that was the same thing. Like, as soon as I walked in, the first woman I saw, I walked up to her to ask her a question, because her camp was one that I was going to be interacting with. And she came up to me and she's like, "Hi, nice to meet you." Gave me the biggest hug and asked me about my life. Like, it was just, I was like, "What is this?" Like, instantly, you know, just people are just, like, radically accepting of whoever you are, and you can feel free, like you said, to express yourself and just say, "This is who I am." And it's like a 180, like, or 360 shift of looking at people in our community differently. I really liked, when I was traveling this year, one of my favorite things about being in Zambia and, like, experiencing their culture is the level of respect they have for their neighbors. I think that was something that was really, really cool for me, was the crime rates were really low because people looked at everyone with such respect. It was like, you have to, like, it was considered rude if you didn't talk to the person that was next to you, or you didn't say hello. You don't have to talk in depth with them, but at least acknowledging their presence. And, like, as you're riding through the neighborhood, you just say hi to everybody that you see and you greet them. And it's like that acknowledgement of other people and acknowledgement of, like, I see you, I see you, I see you. It's like, it create such a better level of trust between people as well. And that was something where, like, especially coming from, I was coming from a culture that was, like, you know, much more to yourself, much more, contained, less antisocial, I mean, more antisocial, I would say, that sort of thing. So going from that to then saying hi to everyone at first is like a shock to my system, but then it was almost like it prepared me then to go to Africa Burn, because it was like, I was able to see, like, oh my gosh, look at the way that people treat each other here. They're so kind to each other. Like, wow, what a flip.
Yeah.
Like, you know? And then when I got to Africa Burn, I was like,
when everyone's kind.
Exactly. Yeah. Isn't that, and that's a big part. And, you know, they have got probably, you know, fear in other ways that happened there and stuff, but it's like culturally between humans, you know, and with between your community and your family, with the same thing that we have, but it's like that. Yeah. It's like, it just took away the fear of the immediate person next to you, of how they're going to perceive you. Because they're already like, hey, how you doing? I accept you. And it's like, oh, really? Oh, my God. Thank you. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it really is. I left my friend staying with her host family. Like, I left their home. I'm so loved. And I had only known them for a week. And I was like, they were just like so kind to me, and I was a total stranger, and they were just always so kind. I was like, it's just like, even thinking about it now makes me emotional. It's just like, oh, the instant love that was given was like so beautiful. And I, you know, maybe that's something that you and I can, now that we've talked about it, like think about, or even just me now that I'm thinking about it, moving forward through life with like thinking about that notion of, what if I treated the people that were next to me like how the people treated me when I was traveling then? You know?
So I talked to Royce the other day, and I said, you know, something that might seem small, but it's like the world to me, is that I want to smile at strangers more. Like, I don't, because I get that, like, nervousness, or, like, there have been experiences where I've smiled in the past and people didn't smile back at me, and so that felt like some form of rejection. But if I'm thinking about it, honestly, I think my already having apprehension of whether they were going to smile back or not might have projected in the way that I gave them that smile. And so, like, got that same awkward smile back or no smile at all.
Wow.
But I would really, like, love to just, like, big cheese. Like, hey, how you doing? Like, just the way that you do in the burns. And just expect that person is going to give me the energy back. Or if they don't, to just be like, oh, well, you know, on to the next person. So, you know, I know once I'm comfortable enough to do it, I am always going to get the greeting back, because it's good energy. When you give good energy, you know, you'll receive it back. You might catch somebody off guard, but if you commit to being happy instead of, like, immediately shrinking after putting yourself out there, people will be receptive to that.
Oh, wow. Yes, that's so true. And right now, like, in my neighborhood, everybody's walking and biking a lot more because of, you know, everything that's going on with COVID. And it's like, I walk by so many people, but, you know, they're not people I know. They're from different, like, parts of the neighborhood. And like, just feeling confident enough to smile at those people, because half the time when I do smile at them confidently, they do smile back and they want to say hi, but then we have, like, it is an awkward, you know, thing of us both kind of shrinking a little bit. <It's> like, why don't we just say hey? You just met a person, you know. Yeah, and have that connection. And that's like when you wow, because at the burn, it's like you're immediately like confident, then, you know, almost everybody there will smile back and be loving towards you. So you don't have the fear of them not. And you know what? I feel like during that week of my life when I was there, I really like lost the care for if people like reciprocated. You know what I mean? Like, it was like a thing of, well, okay, the cool thing about that burn was the theme of the whole festival was about, I can't remember, there's like some long word, but moments in time and letting that moment go as soon as it's passed. So it's like whatever you've had with this person, say you and I just now met, Amari, and we've never talked before, this is the conversation that we're having, and say we split off and we never see each other again, to just be at peace with that. Mm-hmm. That's what happened, and that is what we experienced at that time, and to be at peace if we never get in contact again. And and, like, you know, when things, you do get in contact with people again, like, that's because you both feel compelled to reach out to each other again. But in the same way of, like, if I, you know, put out a vibe to somebody and it wasn't accepted, or them to me, and I didn't want that, what they were putting out, it wasn't personal. Like, it was just like, I understand, I respect you, but this is not right for you at this moment. And then we would go our separate ways. And it was like, yeah, that was so many realizations like that week for me. I don't know how long was Love Burn?
It was for 4 days, and I was actually surprised because it was like 4 full days, morning to night, and then on the fifth day, you kind of got to like slowly take your time leaving, like toward the middle of the afternoon, which is different than like I went to Okeechobee Music Festival 2 years ago, I think it was, and it was like 3 days, and you left the morning of, like super early.
Yeah,
and you know what? Honestly, I thought all festivals were the same. So when I went to Okeechobee, I was expecting kind of like the Burning Man experience as far as the community and the friendliness. And I'll just say it's a totally different scene.
Totally different scene. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I haven't been to Okeechobee in a couple of years now, but even from Bonnaroo to – I've been only to Bonnaroo, Okeechobee, and like now Africa Burn, I think that's it. Maybe I've done more, but anyway, but each one is so different. But I would say, you know, like if Burning Man is like the wise old sage, then Bonnaroo is like the 20 something year old who's really trying to get in there, like, you know, really like in process. And then Okeechobee is like this teenager who's like, I want to be all these things. Let me try.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. That's so spot on.
Yeah. That's what I feel like. You know, if you go into it knowing that, then it's kind of like, you know what your crowd is, you know. But the cool thing is like once you've been to like a Burn, then you can take that with you wherever you go. And you can be like, I'm going to set the standard here. Here's my energy.
Absolutely.
Y'all can just react to me now.
Here I am.
Yeah, here I am. Podcast title, I swear. Yeah. Oh, man. So I wanted to ask you, what is something that you want to lean more into right now for walking more authentically in who you are? What's something you want to lean into?
Okay, so my main thing right now is my voice. And, like, I mean that metaphorically, as in my platform and my reach and who I'm influencing, but I also mean literally with my voice and tonality and expression. There are literally times where I can feel when my throat chakra is more open than other times. And in those moments, it feels so good to express and to talk and to emote. And I really do like milk those for what it's worth. But I would love for that enthusiasm and passion and wholeness to be present in my voice at all times, or, you know, at least for my prerogative, because there will be moments where I want to be softer, and I'm very good at being chill and calm and holding the space. But there are times where I can get so passionate about whatever it is I'm expressing about that I can feel almost like the room echo when I speak. And I'm really trying to tap into that, like, whenever I can and need to, because I feel differently when that's happening. Like, it's almost as if whatever I'm sharing and expressing is being channeled through me, though I'm very present in what it is that I'm saying, and they are my thoughts. So it's not as if, like, just a higher being is telling me something and I'm regurgitating it. It's just that I feel myself resonating in exactly what I'm saying. And I feel the energy in the room moving and shifting as that's happening. And that's when I feel the most powerful. But there are other scenarios where I don't feel as confident. And then, you know, I'm really just like observing myself, like, what is going on, Amari? Why are you not present? Or why have you stepped back? Or why have you shrunken down? What is it that's holding you back in these certain situations that's taking you away from where you desire to be and where you know you can be? Because I always end up in those moments eventually, but it's so subconscious. You know, I haven't figured out what that thing is yet that's like, ah, that's it. That's the good trigger. That's what's going to set me off. And I know finding whatever it is that's going to help me be able to do that on command, for lack of better words. But once I learn that method or that practice, I'll be able to use that tool to continue to inspire and encourage people, like, intentionally all the time.
Yeah. Wow. I love that. I love that. You know, the reason I started this podcast was because I had, like, my throat chakra was, like, closed up tight. And I was like, what is happening? What is going on here? I need to work on this. But I know that feeling that you're talking about of, like, where you feel like the ground is shaking, like the air is moving, like you can literally feel it with your words, and you're so on point. And sometimes it's about centering yourself, and some, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with, am I in my head or am I in my truth? And I feel like that for me, you know, every time I've had those experiences, I'm not worried about what people are thinking. I mean, it may come from that I'm in a supportive environment, or I'm around people that I feel accept me and understand me. But then there's other times where I just feel so passionate about something. I'm like, you know what? As something overcomes, like that, the passion of getting it out there, or the something in me overpowers that fear. But I know what you mean. Because even just, you know, me coming on this podcast every week is, I have to, sometimes it feels really in line, really good. And other times I have to really, like, get myself to sit down and do it, even though I know I want to, but I'll be in my head about what people are thinking, or I'm feeling unprepared, or whatever it is. And usually once I start talking, I'm totally fine. But even just, like, I mean, I think I was just excited when I was introducing you today, but I was just like, what is happening? Why am I not saying words correctly? Like, what's going on? You know? And it's like nothing else than me fighting in my own brain while I'm trying to read something out loud, of like me having like three conversations at once, you know? And like, and I think it started because I had written your name down. There was a typo. Instead of Spigner, it like auto-corrected to Singer. And then I start, it just like spiraled from there.
You're like, oh no.
Yeah, because then I was second guessing myself. I was like, her name's Spigner, like what? And then I, you know, just goes on from there. But I, in total, that I resonate with what you just said. That is so powerful. Again, listeners, write this stuff down. Amari is giving us some real wisdom right here. I think that's really cool.
Preaching to the choir.
Yeah. Seriously, well, seriously, if we're leaning into it more, that's something that I'm trying to work on too. Maybe we can keep each other up on that of somehow, or like whether it's, you know, like maybe you can come on my podcast more often if you want, or, you know, something like that. Let's see. Okay, my last thing I wanted to say, we've got just a couple minutes left, and if everyone's still listening and still hanging on with us, for people who are looking to get in touch with themselves, like some people, you know, it's like sometimes you get into such a way that you've been living in a way that's not authentic to you, but you feel kind of trapped, or you feel like, I don't even know what I want. Who am I even? Like, that's how I felt 6 months ago, because I didn't even know what I wanted. I didn't know myself, and I felt really, really weird, because I was like, yeah, I know myself simply, like I know these things about me, but I just felt like so out of place, and I didn't know why. And I think that it was like me reopening the book of like, who am I right now? How can I get to know myself better? And I think that was like this is kind of like leading up to what we're talking about right now. It's like, I've written down a few things, but is there anything that comes to your mind immediately of a way to get you to know yourself more deeply, to even identify what is authentic to you?
Oh, I don't know if you're going to like this answer, but it's meditating, because that's the answer.
That's actually the first thing I wrote down on my end, too.
Yeah, it really, I mean, just because naturally in the type of like society we live in, and I'm speaking specifically about being in America and also being somebody that works in like entertainment and events, everything is so fast paced and minding everyone else's business, you know, like that's just part of the work. However, when you sit down and you meditate, that's the one opportunity that you have to hear from only yourself. And that's why it's important to, when you meditate, make sure you're going on a walk somewhere, or finding a space in your house or your backyard where you can be alone and not be troubled by anyone else's energy or influence and just sit silently and see what naturally comes. And if sitting still is just too much of a challenge or just not practical for anybody listening, if you are able to at least go to places where you can be by yourself so that you're not constantly keeping up with conversation with others, and mm-hmm. you're not on your cell phone scrolling through social media, reading other people's opinions, just yep. like literally spend time alone, and you will find out what it is that you like and what it is that you don't like. And it'll probably start off very habitual. You're doing things that you're used to doing with other people. That's how it was for me. But since there's no one else around, it gave me the opportunity to be honest with myself of, is this really fulfilling, or like, am I not enjoying this and I'm going to stop now because I'm not concerned about maybe hurting someone else's feelings? And once you start to do that, it becomes very clear what you do and don't enjoy. And then I guess the next step would be to honor that when you go back to finding yourself sharing spaces with other people.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, it's like seeing what comes up for you and radically accepting whatever that is too, you know. But I love that you said to honor it as well when you go back, is to notice it. I think it's just the noticing, right? That's like the first step, is to give yourself the quiet space to notice and to feel and to, you know, I had looked up a bit of some guidance online before writing my notes for this episode, and I had found some questions that someone had written down of like, how do I feel? How do I want to feel? What do I want to experience? Mm-hmm. You know, what am I experiencing right now? And letting yourself acknowledge where you are, and then also letting yourself wander. Letting, like we said before, let your brain wander. Like, starting to feel into, like, what do you desire? And to know that there's no shame in that, and desiring things and to wanting different things. And yeah. And I think you talking about honoring when you get back around with people again, honoring and testing and experimenting is also really, really good practice too, is to, in small ways or in big ways, like for me shaving my head or, you know,
which is awesome.
Or, yeah, thank you. I just did like a hard rock hand sign. but yeah, like in small or big ways, like just to try testing it out for yourself, you know, like in what feels safe for you. But yeah, I would love to hear people's thoughts. You still have about 5 minutes if you wanted to call in, but if you don't, that's okay too. Amari, is there anything else that you wanted to leave everybody with? Any final
I just want to let people know, say, you know, do your best to find at least one thing that makes you happy. And I know that some days it can be really difficult to find that thing, but I think it's important to have at least that one thing so that you can have something to reground you. Because just as easily as our minds can sometimes go to these negative thoughts, there should be something that you have in your back pocket that you can reach and tap into that's going to be a positive thought, because that's going to keep you inspired and really give you purpose. Your energy flows where your attention goes. So sometimes when it feels like everything's falling apart, you give your attention to that and you end up really like lowering your vibration unintentionally. And I'm guilty of that myself. Like sometimes I literally have mood swings where I am feeling down and I don't have like a pinpoint of where it came from. And I'm talking myself through it. Like I have all these things to be grateful for. Why am I feeling sad? And then I have to, you know, make the decision to acknowledge all the things that I am grateful for and choose to go ahead and focus my attention there instead, so that I can work on raising my vibration back up. Because the day is going to unfold the way that it wants to, no matter, you know, what we do. Like, we can be present in it, but things are going to unfold the way that they have to in order for us to learn the lessons that we need to learn. And as long as we can keep finding something to be happy about, we'll remain inspired and have the motivation to keep going, as opposed to feeling at a loss for things or like nothing has purpose, just remind yourself that there are good things. The more that you're doing that, the more that that will become habitual. So many of us are good at going off on negative tangents, but if we practice, we can get really good at going on positive tangents. And Esther Hicks from Esther and Jerry Hicks with the Abraham Hicks series, which everyone can look up on YouTube, that's a fantastic tool for reshaping your mind to having those positive thoughts and that positive train of thought.
That's medicine, gal. That is medicine. That is, I even need to hear that. I think sometimes we unconsciously do that, but to really make a practice out of it is beautiful. And that's so true. I mean, yes. Yes, yes, yes. I wish I could get, can we get a round of applause for Marcy and everyone? You can't hear them, but they're all clapping for you.
Thank you, thank you.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Well, okay. Well, Amari, thank you so much for talking with me tonight. I wish we had more time. I could spend double this time talking with you. But
you
thank
know,
you so
we
much.
Do.
We do. We do. Well, we'll have to just keep talking, though, because, like, I need people like you in my life. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much
Likewise.
For being here with me. Oh, man. Okay. Well, if you guys want to know more about Amari and who she is in life outside of this podcast, you can follow her and connect with her. All of her social media is listed below, as well as mine and Be Unique's. It's got our Instagrams, our Facebooks, our YouTubes. If we've got websites, things like that, check it all out. Amari has some really cool stuff that she's always working on. I love the change that she makes in the world and the impact that she's had on everyone's life, honestly, that she comes in contact with. So, moving forward, this Thursday night, if you want to listen into Be Unique Unscripted's podcast, it's an awesome open mic night with Mary Brotherton. That's on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. EST. Next week, I'm going to be talking to my wonderful, beloved friend, Ann Curtis, and a fellow podcaster as well. She's in Atlanta. And we're going to be talking about post-COVID-19 pause, so post this time, what do we want to see changing in the world? And that'll be next week, 8 p.m. on Tuesday. So thank you, Amari. Thank you, everyone, for listening and supporting. Thank you for giving me the space to speak and to create time like this. It's very grounding for me as well. And I'm wishing you all health and joy this week. Everybody, here's your soul work. Do have a dance party, whether it's with you, by yourself, with your partner, with your dog. Yes. Have a dance party for me this week. I will be dancing with you in spirit always, always. And after
it.
This, yes, thank you, Mari. After listening, I hope that you feel just a little bit more like the true you. So let's all go out there and be our most authentic selves. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much, Amari. Sending love to you.
Thank you for having me, Anna. This was so much fun. I really appreciate you, and I appreciate everyone that took time to spend space with us tonight.
Yes, absolutely. And with that, I'll play the rest of this song. Good night, everybody.
Adios.
Thank you for your mercy. Oh, you give it to me freely. Oh, and even though I don't deserve you, you choose to pursue me. Hey, I said thank you for your mercy. You give it to me freely now, and even though I don't deserve you,
I don't need them, call the police, I'm a free man. I don't care what they would say, 'cause